Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So, can you believe it? We're already in the middle of April. April, golly. This is that time of year when most moms think, okay, we got a little downtime, spring break, I got the kids back into school, I'm going to transition from the winter wear to the spring wear, I'm going to do a little spring cleaning, get caught up. We have such high expectations for April because right around the corner, I think, is one of the busiest times of the year for a mom, and that is getting the kids out of school. I think the getting them out of school is just as hard as getting them into school. And it seems like the older your kids get, the more tasks that are surrounded by the end of the school. So you have the end of the school year parties, you have final exams, you have, in the case of graduations, you have graduations. And then right in the middle of it, we have Mother's Day, where we're supposed to be being pampered, but in most cases, we're celebrating Mother's Day for our mother-in-laws and our own moms and aunties and all of those extended moms in our children's life. But it's a crazy time. So for the next hour, I want you to take a big, deep breath with me and enjoy the show and laugh a little bit and commiserate with me because I'm right there. This is no lie. I had to buy 32 airline tickets last week because we have so many graduations all over the country. And of course, my parents they have no ability to book an airline ticket on online. So of course, I volunteered to do it. 32 airline tickets. It took me 9 hours to book 32 airline tickets, in case you're wondering how long it takes to do that. But we're in that time of year when it's time to start thinking about summer activities and summer camps and all of those things that are just right around the corner. I do want to mention that the show was brought to you by Premama. You can go to drinkpremama.com where you'll find all of their great supplements for prenatal and expectant moms. And they're all at Walgreens and Target, CVS, and Amazon. So check it out. Go to drinkpremama.com because, hey, after all, they bring you Mom Talk Radio, and we love them for that. When we return, we have got a fantastic show lined up for you. And when we return, we have Dr. Daria Long Gillespie joining us. She's an ER doctor, and we're going to be talking about health and your children and keeping everybody clean and away from germs this summer and spring season.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
We are going to start moving outside a little bit, and our kids will be running from inside to outside again. And all of that, you know, our dogs running in and out, all of that spells germs around your house. So we were very excited that we could have on the show today Dr. Daria Long Gillespie. She is an ER doctor. She's a mom and a TV and media health expert. You've seen her on a whole bunch of places, including Dr. Oz and CNN. And just to add to that big list, she has decided to come on Mom Talk Radio. So I want to welcome Dr. Daria to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Maria. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, well, I am sorry that I omitted to say that you also host your own radio show called Share Care Radio, a health and wellness focused podcast and radio show. So you and I should have an easy time talking today.
This is going to be fun. Absolutely. That's on radio and on iTunes. So, yes. But I'm a mom. Being a mom myself, I'm really excited to be on today's show with you.
Oh, well, thank you. So when do we really need to worry about germs? I mean, some moms become a little germophobic, and I'm just wondering, when do we really have to worry?
Yeah, I mean, I know I did the same thing when my daughter was born. I got totally, you know, very paranoid about all sorts of germs. It's typical for moms. It's a natural thing. But there are. There are some germs, I call them the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so when it comes to the good, you know, there are good germs. That means, you know, germs from playing in the dirt in your backyard or playing around your dog. I mean, some studies have actually found that kids who are exposed to a dog in the first few years of life have lower risks of asthma, wheezing, and other allergies, too.
Yeah, so that's one thing that it's allergy season. And I actually saw something in USA Today about it. And it seems like this year, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting older or whatever, or I'm noticing it more. It just seems the pollen is really, really bad no matter where I go in the United States. So how do we tell the difference between allergies and a cold?
You know, that can be tough. You're right. I don't know. You and I are both getting older, but the pollen here seems to be crazy. My car was caked in it. And, you know, it's really, especially when we're talking about kids, with a cold, you'll often see, you know, a host of symptoms. They may have a little bit of a fever, a little bit, you know, they may be a little bit irritable and, you know, just not seem to be feeling as well. Maybe they're coughing and, you know, allergies, on the other hand, they often, you know, that's when your child may be running around. I know my little daughter has the same problem right now. She's literally running around with her nose is running. It's clear. It's not bothering her. She doesn't have any other symptoms. So what do? You just, you know, keep the tissues at hand, but you don't really have to be worrying about it otherwise.
Oh, well, that's good to know. So, okay, let's talk about animals, because that's something that we, you know, we think our pets are now our children and that kind of thing. And just the other day, my bulldog, he just sneezed all over my face. And I was just like, oh, my God, what kind of germs just came onto my face? So what about our animals? What do we need to think about?
Yeah, I mean, my brother has a bulldog, and I know if he just looks at you, it's like a whale kind of spraying you in the face. But, you know, for the most part, the germs that your dog has, you know, for the most part, for any well dog, are not going to be necessarily ones that will infect a human, per se. Sometimes if they have a bacterial infection, that may be separate. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, a well dog, it's, you know, whenever it happens, they sneeze on me now, especially after that study I mentioned of dog exposure causing less risk of asthma. I just try to laugh it off and say, well, I won't get asthma. But that's it. I mean, dogs are still dogs. And and same thing for all of our pets. You know, dogs go and they sniff things that we don't want to mention on air, and they track the dirt from the outside. So when that happens, go wash your hands, wash your face, wash off whatever it was. You don't want to, you know, touch whatever it was and then touch your eyes or, you know, touch some other space or eat after that without washing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so, regular soap and water will be perfectly fine in that instance.
Oh, good, good. That makes me feel better. So I have other questions for you, but before I ask them, I want to give you the opportunity to tell me a little bit about what ShareCare.com is.
Yes, absolutely. So ShareCare was started 5 years ago by one of the original co-founders of WebMD, and his goal was to create a health engagement platform where everybody can come, take our health assessment test, which is one of the top tests in the nation, and then you get your own personalized profile, and we send you information that addresses specifically you and your health needs and your health interests to really help everyone have the best quality of life and the healthiest that they can be.
Gotcha.
I'm very excited. We also have a fantastic symptom checker app. Every mom needs it, called AskMD. It's been one of the top health apps. Mm-hmm. And check it out. You can keep separate profiles for your kids. So when they're coughing or have a fever or anything else, just go in and AskMD.
You know what? I actually used that last week because I have to tell you, this is one of those, I'm just going to vent for a minute. My husband made me so mad last week because I was out of town and my daughter texts me and she's like, Mom, when will you be home? I need to go to like urgent care and Dad won't take me. He told me to Google the symptoms. I was like,
oh no.
What golf tournament is he watching right now that he won't take you to urgent care anyways? So I did. I actually used it, and it was awesome. Like, it kind of put me to ease. I knew exactly, I didn't know exactly what it was, but But it did, like, I was like, okay, I'm good until tomorrow when I get home, and then I will take her to urgent care. But it's a great...
Oh, I'm so glad you thought so. We've worked very hard, you know, because you're right. So many of the, when you search online, Google, or other apps, you end up having all these sorts of diagnoses that are really scary, and then you really want to go to the ER. We worked very hard to, all of the information in there is curated by physicians to have it be the really empowering informational experience that you need to take action with your kids and adults as well, with everyone that you may be worried about for their health.
Yeah, well, just for the record, that swollen lymph nodes behind the ears can be related to dyeing your hair too many times, which was like the greatest thing I have ever learned to hear a doctor say to your teenage daughter, who you've told 100 times, you know, I really think you're dyeing your hair too often. I really think you need to, like, slow down on that hair dye. And sure enough, to have a doctor say, you know, you probably don't want to dye your hair as often. And I was like, yes, it was just, you know, as a mom, you know, it you're just like, it's a beautiful thing when somebody else says it for you, you know?
Yes, it's great when somebody else, because there's so many battles to fight with your kids, especially when they're teenagers. And when you have to have somebody else take that for you, I will take it any moment. Yes, absolutely.
Well,
glad
Daria, I want to give you a moment before we end to spell and let everyone know how to find your website and then also sharecare.com.
Yes. Tell everybody, of course, there's sharecare.com. If you go to sharecare.com, you'll find the Real Age Test and our site. If you do sharecare.com/Dr. Daria, you'll get to my profile page where you can see all the blog posts that I've done and a lot of information from me. And then I would love people, if they have any questions, tweet me at Dr. Daria. Or Facebook, I'm Dr. Daria Long Gillespie. And I'm also on Instagram, but go to one of those two places. Would love to connect with them and answer questions.
Great. And I just want everyone to know we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, and it's got two R's in it, D-A-R-R-I-A.
Yeah.
So thank
D-R-D-A-R-R-I-A.
You so much.
D-A-R-R-I-A. Exactly.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who's doing pretty amazing things, being a media maven and more. Delighted to have with us today Christina Nicholson. She is a busy mother with 2 children, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. She can be found online at mediamavenandmore.com. Apparently, she had a little spare time in her day and started a public relations firm. So it's going to be exciting to hear how she does it all. She's a former TV reporter and anchor for almost 10 years, and now she's doing the mom thing while she's juggling her PR firm. So welcome, Christina, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me, like, what made you want to, I mean, you have to be busy enough with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. What was the onus to go out there and start a PR company in the middle of all of that?
Well, it honestly was never my goal. It was never my dream. I never thought I would own my own business. But being a TV anchor and a reporter, it is not a family-friendly industry. I mean, you could be sitting outside of a crime scene on Christmas morning. It's very unpredictable. It's very cutthroat. It's very competitive. And after having a couple of kids, I needed a more flexible schedule. And I looked for something else in PR, and I tried a couple of different things. But at the end of the day, I don't think any boss who is not your family is going to be family friendly and let you have that flexible schedule. So I said, you know what, I'll just create it myself and I'll just do it myself because, you know, I'm living in South Florida. My family's in Ohio. My husband's family is in Canada. So we're kind of on our own down here, and I needed that flexible schedule. So I did it on my own.
It's pretty amazing how innovative most mothers are. You know, if we can't find it, we created ourselves. And I get it. Like, the whole media world, I was in the newspaper business when I had my children. So I completely understand. What's been the biggest challenge in starting your own business?
It's difficult because, I mean, obviously, if it were easy, everybody would do it, right? You definitely have to be motivated And I think the hardest part is that there is no guarantee. I'm in a position where I have to make money. I can't be a stay-at-home mom. I have to be a working mom, and I want to be a working mom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nothing is guaranteed. When you work for yourself, you're not guaranteed a paycheck into your bank account every 2 weeks. You have to really push yourself and do it. And the truth is, I'm working more now than I did when I had a boss and when I had a full-time job. But the beauty of it is I'm, even though I'm working more hours, I'm working when and from where I want to work. I can take a break at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I could take my daughter to swimming lessons. Or if one of my kids is sick, they can stay home and I don't have to worry about a boss with an attitude. So it definitely has its challenges.
What I found was it's really hard to draw the line, like, and be present with your children and be engaged when your clients need you to be engaged. So how do you manage that?
It's difficult sometimes. I guess I just try to give myself blocks of time to make things mm-hmm. work. You know, this is client time. This is family time. And every day it's different and it can change, you know, at the drop of a hat. So I think as far as challenging goes, when you work from home, it's hard to separate the two because you're not clocking in and clocking out. Your computer and your desk is right there in your house. So it's easy to work early in the morning and late at night. You just have to remind yourself, this is what I have been doing, is, okay, I started my own business for a reason, and it's not to work 24/7. It's okay to take a break. It's okay if this doesn't blow up overnight and if it takes some time to grow. So you can't be too hard on yourself, and you have to remind yourself, if this were easy, everybody would do it. You're going to face challenges.
Right. So when you do face those challenges, how do you, because most women who would like to go out on their own, there's that fear of not having that paycheck. How do you work through that?
Mm-hmm. I actually was kind of starting my own thing a year before I officially went on my own. It was like working 2 full-time jobs because, like I said, I wasn't in a position to just say, okay, I'm going to try it out. I'm going to go for it. I was doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes while I was working full-time. So I was generating a little bit of that side income. I call it my side hustle. It was my side hustle for a year. So I got to a point where I felt comfortable leaving my full-time job to devote more time to my new business. And I think that's important because a lot of people will tell you, oh, just do it. Just go for it. Well, it's
right.
Fun to say because they're not paying your bills. But when you have to pay.
Let's go for it and let everyone know before we have to leave you what your company website is and throw it out there so that everyone can hear it.
Yes, please visit me. I'm at MediaMavenAndMore.com doing all things public relations, photography, writing, blogging, social media, and I'm having a blast doing it.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure and much success with your business, Christina. And we have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we've got some exciting new authors joining us. She is Florence Ann Romano, and she is the author of The Windy City Nanny.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Straight from the Windy City, we have the Windy City Nanny. She is a former nanny and the author of Nanny and Me, Florence Ann Romano. And she's here to talk about all things kids. One of the things that I'd like to talk about is disrespect with children and teens, and we have no better person than the Windy City Nanny. Hi, Florence. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Hello. Thrilled to be here. Excited for the subject matter, for sure.
So I currently have teens, and I've raised a few as well. And often that's the time when, I don't know, I actually think it starts around fourth grade when suddenly the sweet little child that loved you and held your hand suddenly doesn't think that you're so great anymore, and a little disrespect seeps into the personality. So is this normal? Does everybody go through this? When will our children be children again?
You're like, what happened? Who took over your body?
Right.
It's it's amazing, this transformation that happens when hormones hit, when everything just kind of explodes, and it is totally normal. And I know that the worst thing for a parent to see is, oh my gosh, who has overtaken my child? What has happened here? When will I get my little sweetie pie back? And it is totally normal because children want to push boundaries. I'm sure with your children, they wanted to figure out kind of their independence and where they stood and what they could get away with. And the only way to do that is to act out.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how they, and you have some kids that are a little bit more challenging, like they like to challenge you a little bit more than, I mean, even if they're all in the same family, came out of the same womb, whatever. And it's kind of amazing. But recently, we are a very Catholic family, you know, raised our children in the church and they've all gone to Catholic schools. Recently, one of my teenagers was like, I don't believe in God. I was like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, let's not show a reaction because that's what she's trying to get out of you is a reaction. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, I would expect a teenager to question. I think that's pretty normal to question anything that's in your life because that's the time of your life you do that. And I just moved on. I was like, okay, whatever.
I think you handled
that's
it
what
beautifully.
I wanted to say.
You get an A. No, that's the hardest part. I mean, you handled that beautifully. You get an A plus for sure. Because, I mean, growing up, I grew up very similarly. I grew up in a Catholic household, and I remember being a child and kind of questioning things. And I'd question things across the board from faith to, you know, why did I have to call everybody Mr. or Mrs.? And it was a level of respect that my parents were instilling in me. And children really look to the parents, look to whomever is in their life as the example. So it is so important that you, the parent, and look what a wonderful mommy you are, that you have this very strong faith and you're this strong mom and you are instilling your values in your children. And all you want to see is them carry out those values. But they also want to be their own people. They want to figure out their own journey. And the best thing for you to do is exactly what you did. Say it's normal for you to question. It's normal for you to not be sure about something. And if you can support them and say, let's talk about this, let's communicate, instead of reprimanding and saying, you are wrong and you have to do this because I said so, you're going to have a better, more solid relationship with your child that's really defined by trust.
So you brought up how we think about ourselves, and sometimes, you know, we started this conversation with the word disrespect, but often we think of that as being rude, but really a lot of women as moms, we show disrespect to ourselves, you know, like we hate our body image, we, you know, complain about being fat or what we're eating or we're not exercising or whatever, right? We complain about our husbands.
Absolutely.
And
I just did five of those things like 5 minutes ago.
Right. Exactly. I know I did at the top of the hour, actually. How do we put that in a better light in as far as raising our children and particularly the image and the role model we project to our teens?
I love that question because to me, when you're dealing with parents, you're dealing with a nanny or a caretaker, whomever it might be, that idea of being a role model is so important. And we live in a society today where children are looking at the Kardashians or they're looking at these people that have been put into the media and scandalized and have also been put on pedestals and children tend to gravitate toward that. And when all of this is in front of them and it is so predominantly shouted at them through the media that this is the way you should be and you should strive to be this way, it's so difficult for them to navigate who they authentically want to be because they're seeing so much on the outside influencing them. So you as a parent or you the caretaker or nanny, you want to be a solid example to them that these are the values of our family. This is how we would like to raise our family. But you also are your own person, and you have to have your own journey, and let's talk about your feelings along the way. But it starts with you and your example.
Absolutely. So we just have another minute. Could you let everyone know where they could find you? Because you, in less than 2 minutes, what they would find there, because you have such great content on your site.
Oh, thank you. I would love my love some visitors. I love talking to any of my Facebook followers. If you go to Born San Romano on Facebook, author, you'll see me there. And then my website is thewindycitynanny.com, and you can find my book there, Nanny and Me, which helps children understand the transition of being cared for by their parents to being cared for by a caretaker, and lots of blogs and information for parents and nannies.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio, and we have a link to your site as well, so we'll send some of those friendly people over to your website. Thank you so much for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to talk about Read to Your Children Out Loud Day. Yes, there is such a thing, and you can take part.
The number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
Reading, we all know, is very, very important for our children. And did you know there was a World Read Aloud Day? Yes, there is. And we are excited to have with us today the creator of World Read Aloud Day, Pam Allen. She is the executive director and founder of Lit World, a global organization advocating for children's rights as readers, writers, and learners. And we are excited that she's here today. So welcome, Pam, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
So who would, first of all, ever think that that there's an organization out there that's advocating for the rights of our children as readers and writers? Can you talk a little bit about Lit World?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. Well, you know, really, our children are in so many ways so vulnerable to the state of education. They're out there kind of navigating their way through the opportunities or lack thereof to be learners as readers and writers and speakers and listeners, too. And they don't really have much of a voice. And Lit World, I founded Lit World in 2007. I'm a literacy educator and an author of many books on the subject of literacy education. And my feeling was that children have an awful lot to say and think about when it comes to their own perspective about what really helps them to become stronger readers and writers. And I thought, what if we built a whole organization around the strength of those perspectives and what children really need and what they really want. And that is what we've done. We've listened to the voices of children. We listen very carefully, and we've built all our programs around what children are really asking for in terms of how they grow as readers and how they grow as writers. And as a result, we've built up an organization that reaches many parts of the world and also across the United States. And it's very exciting. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so now you have another book out. I know you've written several. Every Child is a Super Reader, Seven Strengths to Open a World of Possible. And one of the things that I think you feel is that there's a reading crisis in America. What's holding students back?
Really, what's holding our kids back in this is a couple of things. I mean, one is very simple, a lack of access to the resources that make people readers, one of which is simply said is books, and those books can be in the form of books online or books held in the hand. But when you look at classrooms, especially those in cities and rural areas where poverty is high, you will not see as much access to those resources. So that's one thing that holds kids back. There are so many studies that show that even just holding a book in your hand or having a book in the home or having multiple books in the classroom will definitely improve children's academic outcomes. The other thing that we found is that holds kids back is actually that the more a child appears to struggle, or let's say a kid gets to, you know, grade two and doesn't appear to be a thriving reader, we start to do a lot of interventions with that child that are actually more of the same thing that didn't work in the first place. So things that are kind of detached from that essence of why you read, the sort of emotional feeling you get when you read, or that heart beating faster when you get back to a good book, that struggling reader has even less opportunity to feel for the power of that as they get older. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the second thing we try to do is really advocate for these best practices that will actually re-engage the struggling child, the child who has felt left out of that club of literacy. And a few of those things include, for example, the read aloud, which is why we have a holiday for it. It's a very important routine that parents and grandparents and teachers do, but sometimes as the child, if the child struggles, they won't do it as much. They'll say you have to practice, so, you've got to read on your own.
Let me ask you about that. Does a child get the same benefit if they're reading on an app? Like, there's a lot of apps that are really, really good. I saw one the other day, Peter and the Wolf, where, you know, that, you know, great tale and you read along. Do you get the same benefit as if you are holding the book and reading along?
Well, here's what I think. I'm a big fan of the digital universe, so I definitely believe in a blended world. But the interesting thing that I've noticed, and again, this goes back to kind of lit world centered on the rights of the child and sort of the center of the world being the child's perspective, is that, and what we found in doing the research even for Every Child a Super Reader, was that the apps, technology, it's all good. There's nothing bad about it. The problem is a couple of things. One is that it's when a child is online, just like with you and me, I mean, all of us, it's very highly distractible. So we find children, even with these beautiful books that they can get, like Peter and the Wolf, I've seen that. It is amazing. Reading Rainbow is amazing. Scholastic has an amazing app called Storia. There's some really good ones, but the child on the iPad or on the Google tablet will start to, you know, the interest goes away because maybe there's a game too, or the brother comes over and wants to click on. So there's the distraction element, which for the growing mind is a little bit tricky. And then the second thing is what's missing in the app reading aloud to the child, although again, like I agree with you, there's some great ones and I really promote them because especially we have, you know, parents tell me but I think that the problem with that too is the essence of the reading experience when the adult and the child come together and there's a shared text and there are questions that come up, you just miss that. I mean, it's gone.
Right.
And
I don't want to
lose it.
Well, I don't want to miss the opportunity to plug your organization and your website one more time before we have to say goodbye. Can you let everyone know where they can find you and all of the great advocacy that you have going on?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's Lit World. It's LITWORLD, and it's litworld.org. And if in terms of some of these ideas, my new book with Dr. Ernest Morrell is called Every Child a Super Reader, and that book can be found on the Scholastic site or on Amazon or anywhere, any bookstore that you can find on or offline.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio, and it's a good day to pick up a book and read it to your child because both of you will benefit from it. You know, we get rid of our books as our children grow out of them, but don't you just love Harold and the Purple Crayon or any of the I Spy books? I mean, what Pam was saying, you know, the bond that you get with your mother when she's reading you a book. I can still read Danny and the Dinosaur and get the feeling that I am sitting on my mother's lap reading that book together. I can still feel that. So stop what you're doing, pick up a book and read with your child. Don't use a Kindle, don't use the iPad, just go get a physical book. I know you have 100 of them somewhere on a bookshelf in your house. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to the medical world with you and your child. Delighted to have with us today Kim Sebbings. She is with Diocese Medical. They are committed to saving lives through the early detection and diagnosis of disease, and they have a very innovative way to do that, which I am going to allow Kim to describe to you. So welcome, Kim, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about, I know it's bio, you better say it.
Hopefully, women are having pap smears to try to detect cervical disease. And if they have an abnormal pap smear or if they have what's called HPV, which is a virus that causes cervical cancer, they will be directed to have a colposcopy. And that is a mouthful. but a colposcopy is an exam that helps the doctor detect whether or not there are any abnormal cells, which could be either precancerous or cancerous.
Tell me about the DISIS advanced cervical imaging system that you have.
Well, in the past, the colposcopy was done just using a pair of binoculars. So the doctor would put vinegar water on the cervix. And one thing we know about vinegar water is that it interacts with abnormal cells and turns white. So they're looking for this whitening effect visually. And the challenge with that is it's very subjective. How white is white? What's the worst area? How do you measure it? And there hasn't been a way until this new device came out called the DISIS Advanced Cervical Imaging System, which actually measures that change and creates a color-coded map. And that is what the doctors use to help them ensure that they are not missing anything that is significant. The color-coded map is like a weather map, so it just helps them see where the highest intense areas are, and that's either red, yellow, or white, and then they can make sure they're taking biopsies from all the areas that show up as really intense on the map, in addition to using their own clinical judgment. So it just adds a dimension that wasn't present before.
Wow. I'm like thinking, so all of these years we've been using vinegar and water to determine whether or not it's cloudy. That's crazy. But I guess it worked okay, huh? How do we ask for the DISIS map rather than like the vinegar water?
Well,
or can
we use vinegar water, but instead of just using our eyes to detect this disease, they would use a camera that actually measures the change over time. So it actually takes multiple pictures, about 25 different images, and then it measures that change. So today what the doctor's doing is they're looking at it visually, and they're trying to see what is the most intense area. And the challenge with that is it depends how long they wait. It depends how good their eyesight is. Many doctors take off their glasses during this procedure because they have to use binoculars. So that's been one of the challenges. It's just, and it isn't very objective. And it can be done in many different ways depending on how the doctor was trained. And their objective is to take biopsies from the worst spots. But if if it's transient and it changes over time, then it's difficult for them to see. So this helps.
So can we request a different procedure?
Absolutely. Our website actually has a listing of all of the sites that offer this new advanced cervical imaging. We're expanding across the U.S. So I definitely ask your doctor about how to get the advanced cervical imaging of the cervix called DISIS. It is the first clinically proven device that has been shown in multiple studies to actually improve the detection of cervical disease.
So, tell us one more time before I say goodbye, where that website is and who, and where we can find it.
Okay. The easiest way to get to it is by going to abnormalpapsmear.com. So that's easy to remember. Again, it's abnormalpapsmear.com, and that will take you to the DISIS website and the patient area. And the patient area has a lot of information about abnormal pap smears, as well as colposcopy and what it all means, as well as a listing of doctors who offer this across the U.S.
Well, thank you very much for this. And we're going to have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio because, you want the very best. So thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for joining me today on Mom Talk Radio. It's been fun. And I hope it's been a little relaxing as we approach the spring and all the big events that we have going on. And hope you'll see us. Hope you'll be with us again next week, this time, this station. Or you can go to iTunes, download our free app, and listen to whatever show you want. Take us along with you as you're pushing a stroller, riding a bike, or doing whatever you're doing busily in your car. I'm Maria Bailey. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.